My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, the texts for today are really just aimed, and in fact, the sermon is really just addressed to the biggest sinners among us. You know who you are. For the rest of you who don't identify in that camp, pay attention anyway, because like a car accident, you know, you're going to want to watch this. Like, I am really going to give it to those sinners out there. This woman in the text, she shows up and she touches Jesus. She tries to interact with the Lord, the Savior of the world, who's pure and holy. And this vile sinner, she has the audacity to come to him. He should know that she is not worthy of this. She's not a good man like Simon. Simon, who's done the right things. You know, at his funeral, you know, the pastor and the family are going to say, I was like, he was such a good man. But you know what? If you're banking on being a good person, for those of you who aren't the big sinners, right? If that's your ticket, if that's how you're going to identify, you're in trouble. Because if that's the way to be good, that means you don't need a savior. That means you don't need God's forgiveness. That's what we're saying when we think we're good. We're not like those sinners. Because the thing about sin is theologically, it's all the same. It's not about the amount. It's not about the type. It's just sin. All sin has the same Savior. All sin is taken care of by a cross and empty tomb. Now, if I lie to you, I'll probably get away with it, right? I mean, it's ultimately maybe not going to be that big a deal between us. You'll forgive me, we'll move on, trust will build up, whatever. Now, if I kill you, I'm probably going to get caught. I'm probably going to go to jail. Seems like there's a big difference between those, right? Tell you your hair looks nice when it doesn't. Or, you know, stab you. Societally, in our civil engagement with each other, our sins have very dramatic difference of consequences. There's a big difference between those things. But both require the same Savior. So, while we understand our different sins, things that are our manifestations of our brokenness, to play out differently among each other, with God, they're the same. There's no big sinner and lesser sinner. One of us not better than the other. We're all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. That's the whole crux of what Luke. That's the whole crux of what Luke is trying to tell us in the gospel and in the book of Acts. Time and time again, Jesus comes to offer forgiveness. He does deeds of power to show us he has the power to forgive, saying, what's harder to do? Tell this man who can't walk to stand up and walk, which he does, or forgive your sins? Dying, rising, so that we may know our sins are forgiven. Sending the Spirit to fill us with new life, to bring the kingdom among us, so that we have forgiveness of sins. Jesus tells the tale of two people both owe some money. One 500 denarii, the other 50. And they get the same forgiveness. Out of this guy's wealth, he can just forgive them the same. And then the life of faith is how you respond. Do we say, great, God cares for us, and go back to trying to justify ourselves by our own deeds and works? Or like this woman, do we rise to a life of gratitude and thanksgiving and serving others? One way Luther talked about sin was the self turned in on the self. Shorthand sometimes is navel gazers. You're just so consumed with yourself that all you do is look at your belly button. Because I'm good, it's so great, right here. But in the risen life, in the world that we're promised, that we hope for with the fullness of creation, we're loving God, we're loving our neighbor, turned outwards towards them, caring and forgiving and being with them, suddenly not turned in on ourselves, but turned towards our Lord and turned towards our neighbor. Our first reading today is about David. Before we unpack a little bit of this, I want to talk a bit about what the Bible is. The Bible was not written by one person, and the Bible does not have the same theology throughout. There's different worldviews at play and different ways of understanding in play. In the book of 2 Samuel, David is in his palace. He's the king, right? And he sees this woman on her rooftop bathing. He's like, ooh, she looks nice. Brings her into his palace. She's married to one of his high-up officers in his army, and he knows he shouldn't, but he gets her pregnant. Then he has her husband killed so that he can, you know, try and cover this up. And it's identified as sin. And ultimately, there's a word of forgiveness named, and that God has made David who he is. Now, where the different worldview comes in is that the writer then assumes that David's kid, the little baby, is killed because of what David did. That the Lord strikes him. It's a really disturbing ending to the reading. The theology present in the Gospel of Luke and the other Gospels doesn't point to that sort of mechanism for sin. If you remember the story of the man who was blind from birth, and people asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was made blind? And Jesus says, neither. And he restores the man his sight and then forgives his sins. And both of these ways, these explanations for what's happening in the world, are trying to answer the same questions. Who is God? And who are we? And how do those things play out in our lives? In the understanding of the author in 2 Samuel, it's a little scary. There might be consequences even after forgiveness. Jesus tells something different. Jesus tells of just the forgiveness. And it's not that one is, I don't want to rank these things. I just want to point out that there are different answers to this question. And in the way, Jesus tells of who God is and who we are. Some of these things remain consistent. We're sinners. We need God's help. Just like David, we're not going to make ourselves great. But what makes David great, and what makes us great, is that God makes promises to us and keeps them. Even though David was horrible to the people under him, didn't manage his life very well, God keeps the covenant with him. And even though we are sinners, maybe deserving death for what we do, God forgives us, comes to us when we're dead in sin, offers forgiveness, and raises us to new life. Life where we can turn to our neighbor and celebrate in joy and thanksgiving, embracing the world as God intends it to be here and now on this side of the grave and the eschaton. So, we're all sinners, which is bad news, but also entirely fantastic, because that means we're forgiven and risen to live in Christ. Amen.